Genesis text we have today is, thanks to the teaching of St. Paul, understood by us as a turning point in the way God wants to be related to. The word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Fear not, I am your shield. I will make your reward very great. Now Abram has a problem with this. What good will your gifts be if I keep on being childless? I have no children. And so, according to the custom, we have this in what's called the Nuzi tablets. When you dig this stuff up, you get an idea of the culture, which is very helpful in understanding the text. And the tablet said, if a man dies without any heir of his own, his foreman becomes his heir. So that's Eliezer, this fellow, you see. You've given me no offspring. And the word of the Lord, that's important, right? Why didn't the text say, and God said to him? Because it's the word of the Lord came to him. No, that one shall not be your heir. Your own issue shall be your heir. And he took him outside and challenged him. Abram, look up at the sky. See all those stars? Count them. Just so will your descendants be. Which is true. How many descendants of Abram? We are descendants of Abram. And so, then, there's a kind of an awkward translation. Abram believed Adonai, who accounted it to him, credited it to him as tzedakah, as righteousness. Now it's important to, because this is the key, right? It's on this text that Paul constructs his whole theology of justification. Believe. You're justified by faith, right? And for Paul, the text that grounds all of this for him is this text of Abram, concerning Abram. And so it's important to get it. Well, first, what's tzedakah? What's righteousness? Well, let's go back. What's tzedek? It's honoring the truth of every relationship, right? So what's the truth of the relationship to God? Belief. The word of the Lord comes, and there's only one response. I believe you. Which means, I yield to the truth of this, which is impressing itself on my spirit, though my mind is not grasping it. That's faith. That's the right way to relate to God. Tzedakah. Tzedek. Justice. You see? And so, this text is saying, you see, Abram, it would have been nicer just to leave it in the simple literal translation, I think. Abram, you know, v'chechemin, believed Adonai, who counted it to him, l'tzedakah, as righteousness. So Paul says about us, Jesus of Nazareth is the living, eternal, radiant, infinite Son of God. And he died on a cross in an act of love, gathering up all the human race, bringing them back to the Father. He was raised by the Father from the dead. And he's here offering that to you. If you accept it, that's righteousness. If you believe it, you see what belief is? You see? And that's the right way to relate to God. Huh? And so, this is a key text. You might notice first, it's from the Old Testament. but is a foundational text of the Christian faith. To believe God. That always means going out of our comfort zone. There'll be another time when Abram also believes like this. Take your son, your only son, your beloved, and follow me and offer him in sacrifice. It's the only proof he has that God has come through. Besides, you know, he loves him. Now take him and sacrifice him. And again, Abram believed. Now how do we, you see, in the Jewish people, given the customs that are alluded to in the text, you can date Abram about 1750 B.C. That's a while ago. You see? How did it get down to us? How did it finally get about year 1000 or so put together? The text, the story is older, but because a story like this, you see, is of the hero, the founder of the people. And what's his greatness? He believed God. That's his greatness. Well, in this kind of a culture, that story goes down orally. It's impossible for us. Inundated with the car radio and the television, you know, our minds are scrambled eggs. You know, I'll tell you a story. Hannah, when I lived over there in Jerusalem, was our gardener. He's a good man. And one day he's complaining about the Jews. I said, Hannah, listen. These Muslims come up from Hebron. They threaten the Christians of Bethlehem with death if they won't sell them their houses. The Christians are not going to appeal to Israel, so they sell. These guys get the house. They build something on it. I mean, no, they sell it to the Jews. And the Jews put something on it. And then they start a campaign. Give us back our land. Be nice to get it back now with a big building on it. And, you know, I said that to Hannah. He said, those Muslims in Hebron, they're not Muslims. They're Jews. He goes back, this man who was the gardener, goes back to the 7th and 8th century when that part of the world was forcibly converted by Islam. But they're Jews. You don't change that. Now, you see what kind of a mind that is? So this became the hero. Here is the father of our whole race, the reason why we hold this land. And why is he great? Because he believed. He believed God. One time, childless and old, and God said, you're going to have heirs as numbers as the sky. He believed him. Another time, go sacrifice your son Isaac. The only proof he has that God is going to come through on his promise and sacrifice him. But it's this first one that Paul picks out. But can you see how important it is to get it? You see, Abraham believed God. And that was credited to him. I don't like that. Not as an act of righteousness, but lesudaka, as righteousness. Now, is that what we do? Is that what we do? Do we really believe God? And we're in a panic half the day because we have to look after ourselves. Yeah. Let's pray to Abram. Ask him. We're his children. We're part of that number of stars up there that Abram couldn't count. Huh? It's a very, very important text. that Paul founds, if you notice that, especially in Romans 4, where you've got this whole treatment. All I want to say about the other text, because we have to move on, is our Lord says, here's a rule of thumb. Is the guy a prophet or not a prophet? How does he live? Is his whole life given over to the Lord? Then there's a chance he's a prophet. But if he's a televangelist, you can forget it. You know, you just can't be building yourself up and think you're delivering the word of God. You can't. Name me one prophet of Old or New Testament who ever made money off his prophecies and was acceptable to God. So how can you tell? You watch him. If he's humble, if he's forgiving, if he stays away from money and big shot stuff, it's a chance he's real. But if he doesn't, you can forget it. So let's stand and pray.